Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me for the radio program today. Today is Monday, May 24th, 2021. It was just 2 weeks ago that Hamas in the Gaza Strip began bombarding the state of Israel with their deadly missile and rockets attack. And since then, there has been many, many buildings, lives lost, destruction, and Israel's military has responded with fierce destruction to these deadly terrorists in the Gaza Strip. I said all of that to say this just a few days ago. A mutual ceasefire was agreed to, and hopefully, for the time being at least, the missile attacks will cease, and the Israelites, the Jewish people, can have some return to normalcy, if there is such a thing, as they go about their daily lives. But what I want to focus on today's program is the miracle of the State of Israel. The miracle of the birth of the Jewish state from 73 years ago, on May 14th, 1948, the regathered Jewish state was born. And there is a biblical prophetic history to this incredible event. And what I want to do on today's program is just share with you from my heart and from the scriptures what the scriptures said more than 2,000 years ago when they talked about this incredible event that would take place today. It's only been 73 years, and for many of us that are students of Bible prophecy, we see the formation of the Jewish state, the rebirth of the Jewish state, as a major fulfillment of Bible prophecy for the last days. Now, it is true that most of the Jewish people living in Israel have not been reborn. There has been no spiritual regeneration. The Bible talks about that not only would God return them to their rightful place in their homeland, but that he would bring them to faith in their Messiah, Yeshua. What I want to accomplish today is to just educate you. This is much more than a dispute over land. You hear that quite often, that this is all of this terrorism and this violence and fighting is over a land dispute. That's only part of it. I believe it's very clear in the code of Hamas and in the code of the Quran and the Muslim people, the intent is much more than land, much more than the city of Jerusalem. It is intended to destroy the Jewish race. And so it goes far deeper than a land promise. But what I want to show is that God has been faithful to return his people to their rightful place in their homeland and to give them the land that he promised them in his covenant to them. And so we're going to take a journey this morning. It's a brief one, but I want you to understand what the Bible says in so many different places about the restoration of Israel. We're going to start this morning from Ezekiel chapter 36. And I just want you to hear God's word on this. Just listen carefully. Ezekiel 36:24. Therefore, say to the Israelites, Ezekiel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. Verse 24, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is very important. This is a direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Ezekiel. This is not talking about that time period and the dispersion of the Jewish people back into their rightful place. It is looking forward to the day which we saw in 1948, and which really continues today when God is leading his people back. There is so much that I want you to understand. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 8, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the pregnant woman and she who is in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. We saw right after the horrible Holocaust, the Jews had no homeland. They were homeless. And the movement back to Israel began really in many ways right after that horrible, dark period of history. We see it in Ezekiel. We see it here in Jeremiah, again, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will bring them back to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall take possession of it. We see that so clearly in what is happening today. Many, many, many other pronouncements. This one is very interesting. Luke chapter 21, verse 32. Jesus says to his disciples, truly I say to you, and he's referring to end time events, but listen to the word he uses, this generation, this stock will not pass away until all has taken place. Nothing will stop the Lord's promise. Nothing can stop his sovereign plan. This generation, this stock, this generation of Jewish people will not pass away until all has taken place. You can mark your words on it. It's very clear when God promises to take his people from among the nations and bring them into their land. What happened right after the establishment of the Jewish state was that there was a battle. Egypt and the Arabs began to attack them immediately to push them out of the land that God had sovereignly gave them. But let's be clear. What God says he will do, we see it happened. And when God says, this is your land, this is your capital, nothing or no one can change that. It will never happen again. God says in Amos chapter 9, verse 14 through 15, I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards. Look at the beauty of Israel. The vineyards is just amazing. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. You can go to the bank on that promise, as they say. God says, here is their land. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them. Very clear. Other places in Scripture that declares this amazing miracle. Isaiah is another great, great passage. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. He will raise a signal for the nations, and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. They're still coming in today. A wonderful, wonderful, amazing charity, I call it. It's more than that. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Yael Eckstein, constantly you see her welcoming immigrants into Israel from the four corners of the earth. They are still coming in. It's amazing how this took place on May 14, 1948. Listen to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. It's amazing. Israel was born in one day. Remember, they had been dispersed for many, many thousands of years, specifically in AD 70 with the destruction of the temple. The dispersion began, and they have been scattered. It is a miracle that not only are they returned to their own land, but they retain their original language as well. It is a miracle of God's sovereign providence. Well, we have looked at several scriptures. There are many, many more. But I want you to know what took place was a miracle. On May 14, 1948, on the day the British mandate over Palestine expired, Friday, May 14, 1948, the Jewish People's Council gathered at the Tel Aviv Museum to declare the establishment of the State of Israel. There is no record of exactly who attended the meeting, but 350 invitations were sent out instructing the recipients to keep the information secret. Word got out, however, and people started singing Hatzpakah in the streets even before David Ben-Gurion began reading the declaration he had written. Well, the ceremony took place at 4 p.m. before the British left to avoid making the declaration on Shabbat. It took 17 minutes to read the entire document in a 32-minute ceremony. Some people signed the declaration later, and one person actually signed it twice. 4 hours after David Ben-Gurion read the official statement declaring the establishment of the State of Israel, 4 hours later, Egypt bombed Tel Aviv. The new state was recognized that night by the United States and 3 days later by the USSR. The Jewish people had been scattered. Survivors of the Nazi Holocaust in Europe, as well as the Jews from other parts of the world, continued to migrate to Eretz Israel, undaunted by difficulties, restrictions, and dangers. On the 29th of November, 1947, the UN General Assembly passed a resolution calling for the establishment of the Jewish state. And what baffles me is how anti-Semitic this body of human rights to this day is for the dear Jewish people. Well, that is just a brief summary of this miracle of the State of Israel. I want you to hear this very brief soundbite on this miracle called Israel. This is put out by CBN. Let's listen.
When you look at Israel today, you see a country the size of New Jersey and home to just 7 million people. But look closer and you find a thriving democracy, a renowned military force, and a world leader in technology and agriculture. It has given the world the cell phone, computer processors, and voicemail. Israelis have also made the barren desert bloom again, planting forests and exporting fruits, vegetables, and flowers. Israel's modern story officially began on May 14, 1948, when Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion declared the country's independence in a small Tel Aviv building. Just a few hours later, the United States under President Harry Truman became the first country to recognize Israel.
The United States recognizes the provisional government as the de facto authority of the new state of Israel.
Historian Michael Oren says Truman's faith helped him defy his advisor's strong objections and support Israel's statehood.
He could recite large passages from the Bible. He knew the map of Palestine better than he knew the map of his, you know, neighboring county in Missouri. And he had been a member of a evangelical committee when he was a senator, called the American Christian Committee for Palestine, which was pro-Zionist.
Immediately, doors opened to thousands of Holocaust survivors who had lost everything. A nation miraculously born in a day now would give them a homeland.
In the whole history of the world, no people, no country has ever gone out of existence for anything like 2,000 years and then been reborn. So it is correct to say that it's a miracle, but that is the dramatic understatement. Because the rebirth of Israel is a whole series of miracles.
Israel would need many miracles just to survive the day after statehood. Arab armies attacked from all sides. Trained by the British and much better armed, they vowed to push the Jews into the sea. That caused many of the new Jewish refugees to become instant soldiers.
Many of them got off on the docks and they had weapons thrust into their hands and were told, "Welcome to Israel, you are now fighting for her survival, and by the way, yours is kind of on the line too."
These tanks and trucks, decorated with wreaths, are the actual vehicles from the 1948 Battle of Latrun, a key battle to break the siege of Jerusalem and help Israel survive its first war as a modern nation.
Fight for Jerusalem was intense, and although the Jewish residents of the old city would be forced to lose their homes, they helped Israel survive the early days of the war. In its 60 years, Israel has fought three more wars on its own soil and two more in Lebanon. And today's radical Islamists share the same goal as Israel's Arab foes in 1948, to put an end to its existence. Historian Paul Johnson believes supernatural timing is part of Israel's creation, which is marked by many Arabs and Muslims as a catastrophe, and by Israel's supporters as a source of celebration.
The truth is, in asking for their independence and for a national home, the Jews were about 10 to 15 years ahead of the Arabs. If they'd been running neck and neck, they'd have never have got it, in my opinion. So they stepped through a window of history which suddenly opened briefly into nationhood. And it is one of the miracles of history that this happened.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
That is a brief history of what I've been talking to you about this morning. And I'm just so encouraged by the scriptures, how very important it is that we recognize Israel as part of God's covenant plan, especially for these last days. We've been talking this morning about this miraculous regathering. And there is so much hatred and anti-Semitism my dear Jewish friends suffer with almost every single day. And there is a plot to, of course, destroy the Jewish people. It's as old as time memorial. Satan has always tried to destroy the Jewish people, because through their lineage and the promises of God in his covenant would come the promised Messiah. And so from day one, this spiritual warfare has raged as the enemy tried his best to disrupt the messianic line and could not do it. But the importance of Israel can never be overstressed. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 31, this is the Lord speaking very clearly. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then shall the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever. Do you see how vital, how very impossible it is for these people to be destroyed, for this covenant to cease, for this state to not lavish before his eyes? In fact, God says Israel is the apple of his eye. If these fixed orders depart from before me, that is the ability to measure and fathom the heavens, if one can do that, if that order should depart before me, then so shall the offspring of Israel. It's a very, very veiled way, if you will, a sarcastic way of saying it can never happen. It can never happen. The offspring will always be there. This is God's holy chosen people. I want to feature a special song about what I've been talking about this morning. I played it last Monday, but it's so perfect for the miracle of the state of Israel. This is Lamb, and Comfort Me, My People.
Your beauty will be like the olive tree, your fragrance as Lebanon, ever known. You will leave as a whale. What did God do? And you will flourish like the vine. Ooh. I will heal your wrong ways. I will love you so freely. I will be as the dew to my people. And they will blossom as the lily.
Just a beautiful song from Lamb, Comfort Ye My People, that fits quite neatly into the subject matter of today's program. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope it's been an education to you. The best thing you can do is to share this program with your friends and join me in praying daily for the peace of Jerusalem and the Jewish people that suffer tremendously and that have suffered in these last 2 weeks. I mean, I have images on my timeline on Facebook of a young Jewish lady, a Jewish mother, holding her infant son in her arms, just terrified, sitting in this bomb shelter. And it's just horrific when you see those images. I know my good friend that lives in Israel, she wants peace, and she wants this to come to an end. You can't even begin to imagine what it's like to daily try to go through normal living, and then the air raid bomb sirens go off, and it's consistently every day for 10 days until there's a ceasefire. Well, I wish I could say that this is the end of the conflict. That's my prayer. But somehow I just know it will continue. And so we need to continue to remember our Jewish friends in our prayers, to stand with the state of Israel, and to pray that this administration, this Biden administration, will fully recognize them and be a good partner to them. I will see you again on Thursday on The Cross in the Desert. Have a great rest of the week.